living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
We had a good Thursday. And I don't know if your Thursday was good. I hope it was. If it wasn't, I understand sometimes Thanksgivings are hard. They're uncomfortable, they're sad, but we were blessed this year and that it was good. We went to my aunt and uncle's farm out in Greenfield, which the Arthurs do every year. And this is kind of the one time that all the Arthurs get together in one house. And so just all these, if you can imagine, all these Arthurs just walking around, packed into this tiny farmhouse. You can imagine that it is a glorious thing. Have all those Arthurs in one place. But I thought I might take some pictures for you. I was watching my wife the other day, and you're not going to believe this, but like on her phone, it like takes pictures. I was like, what in the world? So I'm like, well, man, if we paid money for this dude, let's use it. So I had to bring the phone for the camera to Thanksgiving. So I just wanted to give you a taste of kind of what happened for us on Thursday. I do recognize that there are like five pictures of me in this, but please understand, you know, there's a point why we're doing this, okay? I just don't want to show you my face. That's not the idea. But here we have, you know, the appetizer table. Hopefully it looked a little like yours. Next we have the main dish table. You know, we've got the turkey under the towel there, and you can't see all the stuffing there on the stove, but there's two kinds of stuffing. There's oyster stuffing, which is in the oval bowl. You know, oyster, you know, that's how you know it's the oyster stuffing. There's regular stuffing, mashed potatoes and all that. So then I decided to dig in there, and here we have my first Thanksgiving plate. So that was very exciting. I ate that down quickly. And soon, I moved on to my second plate. I was beginning to feel it a little bit there, but I continued on. So here, yes, I know that pumpkin pie looked absolutely beautiful. So I decided to go for my first piece of pumpkin pie. That was good. Soon after that, went into the second piece of pumpkin pie. But it didn't stop there. In fact, there was even a third piece of pumpkin pie. And I don't know if you can see that maybe it's brighter. I'm kind of getting a pasty look about me, but it is a good Thanksgiving. Got me thinking about double portions. You know, as Americans, we're pretty comfortable with that whole idea of taking a double portion, aren't we? You know, we're pretty comfortable with that whole idea of asking for seconds. And as I thought about Thanksgiving this week, as I thought about double portions, going back for that second plate, going back for that second piece of pumpkin pie or third piece of pumpkin pie, I thought about, man, you know, what about asking God for a double portion this week? You know, what about asking God for more of what He gives, more of what He provides? There's a beautiful passage in Scripture that I've always loved where we read an example of someone who asked for a double portion. And so we're going to read that this morning. So if you want to go ahead and turn to 2 Kings, do 2 Kings chapter 2. And it's a lengthy passage, so I didn't put it up on our screen this morning. The 2 Kings chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 12. Once you've turned there, why don't you bow your heads with me and we'll just ask God to guide us here. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for you this morning. And here as we have just ended this busy week, Father, I pray that we would turn in our gratefulness. And that we would look to you. And Father, that you would be revealed today, that you would be revealed in your word, and that you would come and that you would minister to our heart, that you would speak to our heart, that you would guide and instruct and rebuke our heart, and you would cause us to long more today for the things of heaven. Cause us today to long for our eternal portion. And it's in your name that we would ask that. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 2. It says, "Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elijah, 'Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elijah said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, 'Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from you?' And he said, 'Yes, I know it. Keep quiet.' Elijah said to him, 'Elijah, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elijah and said to him, 'Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from you?' And he answered, 'Yes, I know it. Keep quiet.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, 'Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you.' And Elijah said, 'Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me.' And he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so.' And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw him no more." You know, this is really a fascinating passage, especially when we're talking about this whole idea of double portions. You know, thinking about this idea of asking God for more. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to go through this passage. Again, we have that lengthy passage. So we're going to go through it verse by verse, just understand, you know, exactly what's happening here, what's taking place in these passages. Then after we get a better understanding of what's gone on, we'll come to a place then where we can understand the significance of the double portion and what that means for us today and how it will affect us. So we begin in verse 1. We find we've got two men that are walking along together, two men whose names are Elijah and Elijah. Okay? So this can get confusing, so you got to stay with me. We've got Elijah with a J, right? And we've got Elijah with an S. Now I'm going to be talking about both of these guys quite a bit. It'll be easy to get him confused. So what I'm going to do, to hopefully eliminate that, is I'm just going to call Elijah J. Okay? So Elijah is J, and then Elisha is Elijah. That way we won't get tangled in confusion, hopefully. So in verse 1, we find that J and Elijah are walking together. Now, who are these two men? Who are J and who are Elijah? Well, we understand that the nation of Israel, the people of God, they had had a long line of kings, of rulers after King David, that first great king. After David, the number of godly kings, the number of God-pleasing kings, it was a small number. And so what had happened in order to compensate for that was God, in that time period, he had sent messengers to the people of Israel. He had sent in prophets to the kings, warning them, listen, you need to get your act together here. You know, you've got some problems. You need to get these things straightened out. Well, after the great reign of King David, J was really the first great prophet that God sent to Israel. Some would say he was the greatest Old Prophet Testament, or Old Testament prophet. Just when you look at the things that he accomplished and the number of miracles that he performed. But you know, I think what you and I need to see today for our purposes is that when it comes to J, we just need to remember this, that J, he was a high-powered man of God. You know, he was a high-powered man of God. God's anointing, God's power rested on him in a special way. J was very much seen as the president of prophets at that time. Okay, J was the prophet president. That's not an official term that you need to use outside of here. Say, well, Pastor Shane said he's the prophet president. What? No. Just, it's not an official term, but that gives you an idea of his place. Okay, he was seen as the prophet president. So understand, Jay, he was a highly influential prophet. He was a godly prophet. So that's the first man that we see in our passage who was the second. Well, the second was a guy named Elijah. And Elijah had been named by Jay to be his successor. Okay, to be the next prophet president. We know that Jay was getting along in years. We read in this chapter that God had already made it widely known amongst the prophets that he was preparing to take Jay up to heaven with him. So it's clear here that Jay's period of ministry is coming to an end. And Elijah has been chosen then to take his place. So these two, they're walking along together. And at one point in verse 2, Jay tells Elijah, well, hey, listen, I want you to part with me and I want you to stay here because God has sent me to another place. Elijah must have had a little bit of a streak in him or something, because what does he say to Jay? Well, he says, no. He says, no, as surely as God lives, as surely as I live, as surely as you live, as you're standing here in front of me, I will not leave you. So Jay, he consents. They travel to a place. We find that they arrive to a company of prophets. They're there to greet them. You know, what was the company of prophets? You know, we understand that throughout the country there were schools for prophets, religious centers of learning, schools which some scholars believe that Jay would have had an instrumental part in starting, beginning. And so we see that Jay and Elijah, they're greeted by this school of prophets. And in verse 3, they take Elijah aside and they say, you know, haven't you heard the news? You know, haven't you heard the news? Our master is to be taken to heaven. And so these prophets, in asking that question, they're asking Elijah, Elijah, are you ready for this? You know, are you ready for him to be taken? We know the miles that you have traveled together. We know the years that you have studied underneath him. Are you prepared to be separated? And Elijah, he says, yes, I know what is to happen, but don't speak. He said, he was saying, you know, the grief, the magnitude of this for me is too near, so don't speak of it. So after that conversation, in verse 4 now, Jay comes to Elijah and says, well, you know, guess what? I've received some new instructions from God. I'm to go to another place now, and I want you to stay here. But Elijah replies as he did before, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you, Jay. So they travel to the next place, have the same experiences. Elijah's confronted by schoolmates again. Afterwards, Jay tells Elijah, stay here. But Elijah, a third time, he refuses. And so they go on together. And in verse 7, we read that about 50 of the guys from the prophet school, they had decided to tag along after Jay and Elijah because they understand that a big event is about to happen. Jay's about to be taken up to heaven. God doesn't do that very often. Only a handful of times in history do we see that. And so we read in verse 7 that the 50 of them, they're following along when Jay and Elijah walk up to a river. And we read in this passage that Jay, he walks down to the riverbank, he rolls up his coat, and he smacks it on the water. And in verse 8, the two of them are able to walk over on dry ground as the waters split. And so now we have this scene where we have the two standing on the other side of the river. On this side of the river, we have those 50 gawking, curious onlookers, watching, waiting. And we're told then at this point in verse 9 that Jay asks Elijah, tell me what I can do for you. Now, what is it, Elijah, that you want? Because you must want something, Elijah. I mean, you know, journey after journey, you've accompanied me. You have walked by my side. Though I asked you to turn back, Elijah, you would not do so. You've been a faithful friend. And so I want to ask you, what would you have me do before I go? And here it is then where Elijah replies. He says, well, might I have a double portion of your spirit? Now I wonder, Jay, could I have more of your spirit? The Hebrew word there for spirit, it carries with it the basic idea of wind in motion. Okay, that wind moving, that breath, that power. You know, Jay may have a double portion of that movement, that power, that strength which you have. Elijah was asking Jay, would you give me prophetic power? You know, he was saying, Jay, would you give me the ability to minister to others with the effectiveness and with the potency that you have? You know, I don't know in my life if I really need anything else, but boy, you know, Elijah was saying, Jay, if I could have that, you know, that's what I want. And so he asked, may I have a double portion of that power? The power that you give all the other prophets, I'm asking you, Jay, would you give me a double portion of that? You know, and I can imagine in that moment, I can see the two there on that grassy riverbank, and Elijah, you know, in making this request, I mean, you know that he had thought about this. You know, he had waited for this moment. And so in making that request, you know, he kneeled down before his teacher. He kneeled down, and I can see him, you know, looking up at Jay, you know, just anxiously, you know, waiting, kind of like made me think of Ruby, our three-year-old, you know, when she looks up on the counter at a sprinkled cupcake. You know, just intently, you know, watching, waiting, wanting. And in the same way, you know, Elijah, he's looking up at Jay and he's making this request. And then Jay, he's looking down at this man, you know, who became his son, thinking of the sweetness of his request and how he lived with this young man and he taught this young man and he saw this young man grow. And then here he is in this culminating moment. So what does he say? Maybe not quite what we would have expected, but he said, ah, my son, you've asked a difficult thing. Didn't say, yeah. He said, boy, you know, I appreciate the humility of your request. You may have it. No, he said, man, you've asked a hard thing. You've asked for something hard. You've asked for something difficult. Why? Why was that difficult? Jay was saying, listen, it's difficult because you have asked for something that I do not have the power to grant. Jay was saying, look, this is not something that I have that I can give. I am not the one who gives power. I'm not the source. The ability to speak the words of God, the ability to minister, the ability to perform miracles, it does not come from me, Elijah. I cannot give you more of what you ask. I cannot give you your second helping. Not I, but only God. So Jay tells Elijah, here's how you will know if God will give you what you have asked. You will know your request to be spiritually supersized, since we're in the whole double portion food thing. You will know your request to be spiritually supersized has been granted if you can see when God takes me up to heaven. That's how you'll know if God allows you to witness that event. And so then in verse 11, Jay, he had helped Elijah, I can imagine, up off of his knees, and they'd begun to walk along the riverside talking together when we're told there was a great flash and there was a chariot of fire and the horses of fire separated the two of them, and Jay was taken up to heaven. And then we read in verse 12, this is big, Elijah saw this. And we're told Elijah saw it. What did Jay say? If you see me being taken into heaven, then you will be granted that double portion. And so it was then that Elijah asked God for more. He asked for a double portion, a second helping, and he received it. We know from Scripture that day Elijah, from that day, Elijah ministered, he led the people and the prophets of God. He performed miracles, lifting up the mightiness of God. Leaders and kings of Israel called him father, and they cried by his bed when he died. We're all about double portions around here. We're cool with that. So I wonder this morning, what about asking God for more? And what about today, asking God for more of what he provides, asking God for a second helping, for a double portion? There are two important things, I think, that we can pull from this passage for our purposes today, relevant truths. First is this, things of God come from God. That may not seem brilliant, but, you know, we'll get to it here. Things of God come from God. And then secondly, things of God come when they're ready to be received. Now, those are two things that we can understand from our passage. Things of God come from God, and things of God come when they are ready to be received. Regarding that first statement, things of God come from God. You know, consider Elijah's search for a double portion of spiritual power. You know, he must have wondered, where did Jay get that? What I see there, that's what I want. How do I attain, how do I realize that power? I recognize that I need it. I've seen it. I want it. Where might I find more? So surely, he thought, surely I can find it in the one who bears the power that I seek. If Jay has it, he must be able to give it to me. But was that line of thinking correct? No, it wasn't. You know, he was thinking, if Jay has it, he can give it to me. But that line of thinking was not correct. Jay said, no. Now, I'm sorry, it is not power for me to give. It is power that only God can give. And so we understand things of God come from God. You know, that seems kind of obvious, but think about it in terms of our life and the things that we do and the places we go to seek out things which come from God. You know, for example, when seeking joy, okay, we understand Scripture, joy, that comes from God. But when seeking joy, often we look to the appearance of joy rather than the source, do we not? You know, we look to the appearance of joy and not to the source. In the same way with peace. When seeking peace, we look towards the appearance of peace rather than the source. What am I saying? For example, okay, we're going to turn on the television this afternoon. We're going to watch commercials for vacations, holiday resorts. They'll say, you know, hey, come and play golf here. You know, come and fish in our lakes. Come and lay out on our beaches. Come and swim in our pools. And we watch the commercials, and everyone in the commercial is so happy. Have you ever noticed that? And all the children on vacation, they smile the whole time and they never cry. We watch that commercial, we see that appearance of joy, and so what do? In our minds, we begin to attach happiness with vacation. And so the next time we begin to feel a little down, or the next time the kids are a little fussy, or life is a little stale, and we don't care for it so much, what do? We think to ourselves, I need to go on vacation. Right? That's what we do. Because people are happy. You know, I've seen it on TV. People get happy when they go on vacation. You know, but what's happening there? We're looking to the appearance of joy rather than the source. You know, and I think about in the Christian life. You know, maybe we'll think to ourselves, you know, I want to be a better evangelist. You know, I want to do a better job of sharing my faith, of expressing my faith. You know, we've talked about that the past few weeks. I want to do a better job of sharing Christ with others. Do that more effectively. And so, in order to do that, we'll think, well, I need to read a book by Billy Graham. Because Billy Graham, he was a great evangelist. He was good at that. You know, maybe we'll think, you know, I want to cultivate my inner life. You know, I want to grow in the spiritual disciplines. And so maybe we might read a book by Richard Foster, you know, someone who's fluent in those spiritual disciplines. And obviously, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do, okay, to seek out men of God and learn from their lives. But my point is this, is that we will oftentimes, we'll look to a book or we'll look to a study guide of some kind, or a series, or a person, or an audio tape, but we don't go to the source. You know, the source, granted, often spoken of in those places that we look, but we don't go to the source. I just love the example of George Mueller, that great man of faith who began orphanages in England without ever asking for a penny from anyone, but he relied only on God. I think it's fascinating that in Mueller's personal library, he had three books. He had three books. He had a concordance, he had a Greek New Testament, and he had his Bible. And he had three. Why? Well, this is what he said. He said, listen, I have no need for the thoughts of men. I have need only for my Savior. He said, I have no need for the thoughts of men. I need only my Savior, the source of my provision. Now, that does not mean that we should never read another book besides the Bible. You know, that's silly. I'm not saying that. But I think it's a good illustration that reveals the necessity to us of looking to the source of spiritual power rather than the display. Jay told Elijah, listen, it doesn't come from me. It comes not from me. What's Philippians 2:13 say? It says, God is the one who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. God is the one who works, who churns, who moves within us. You know, not vacation, not Billy Graham, but God is the one. You know, things of God come from God. That's what we're saying with that point. You know, you want more spiritual strength. If you long to see that in your personal life, look to God. Because things of God come from God. That's the first thing that we can draw from 2 Kings 2. And then the second thing then is to understand that things of God come once they are ready to be received. Okay, things of God come once they're ready to be received. You know, after Elijah, after being redirected by Jay, Elijah looked to God and found more strength in verse 12. But I wonder, did you notice what happened in those verses? Coming up to verse 12. Verses 1 through 11. Did you catch the journey there? Did you catch the devotion? Did you catch the commitment that we see displayed by Elijah? You know, Elijah, you stay here. Nope, I'm going on. I will not leave you. I'm sticking with you. Verse 2, verse 4, verse 6 from 1 Kings chapter 19. When Jay called Elijah to come with him until 2 Kings 2, Elijah, he would not leave his side. He was committed to the cause. It reminds me of Ruth and Naomi in Scripture. Ruth, of course, was Naomi's daughter-in-law. Both of the women had lost their husband. They died. And so Naomi, what did she say to Ruth? You know, you go back home. Ruth, you go home. You're young. And you find another husband. Go on with your life. Because there's nothing for you here with me. You know, you go home. I'm old. God has turned his face against me. Let me die in bitterness, Naomi said. You know, what did Ruth say? Did she say, okay? You know, did she turn around? Did she walk away towards the appearance of a better future? You know, looking for that hope, looking for that dream? You know, no. She didn't. Instead, she spoke those words that we often hear read in wedding ceremonies when that man and a woman come together, be joined and united. She said to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. You know, Elijah wouldn't leave. Over the years, over the journeys, he had proved himself devoted. And notice that it was after that demonstration of commitment, it was then that God poured out his spirit on Elijah. Do you want more of God this morning? More power? More influence? Do you want more of God today? Perhaps sometimes when you're driving in your car, you think, God, you know, I need more of you. Maybe when you're lying in bed at night, you know, there's an emptiness. You think, I'm surrounded with the appearances of joy, but Father, I'm empty. I need more of you. I need the source of provision, the source of joy, the source of peace. You know, here at the church, you know, what have we been doing? I mean, we've been praying for provision. You know, God, we need a home. You know, would you provide the finances? Would you open up the doors? And we're asking, we're calling out. But I want to ask you this morning, why should God give you more? Why should he give you more today? Do you hear that? And why should he give you more? What are you going to do with it if he were to give it? If he were to reveal, if he were to pour from the source to you, what would you do with it? Now, why should God give us more? If we're not doing anything with what he's given us already, why should we ask for more? 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, it's required that those who have been given a trust, given a duty, given a job, it is required that those must prove faithful. You want more, be faithful, it says, with what you have been entrusted. You know, Elijah had been given a new task to be the next prophet president. You know, he had been faithful, and so he came asking God for more, and he received it. You know, understand that more things of God will come when they are ready to be received. Have you readied? Are you readying yourself for more of that which only comes from God? Because I want you to know that no matter where you're at in your spiritual life today, God has blessing and provision and power that he's ready to give. He's ready to take you from where you're at today, and he's ready to watch you grow. He's ready to watch you and help you walk up that mountain closer to him, growing in grace and strength and power wherever you're at today. You know, He's ready and He's waiting to do that. So let's recognize, let's understand these two concepts that are incredibly important. That the things of God, they're coming from God. And they're going to come when they're ready to be received. When my heart is willing. When there's a surrendering that's taken place within me. When I've demonstrated a willingness to walk, the source will reveal. The source will reveal Himself to you. And I just want to encourage you, if you just bow your heads with me, let's just take some moments here. And you know, if your heart is ready today, I would encourage you to present yourself to God. Bow your spirit before Him and lay flat. Heavenly Father, the beauty of Your portions. When I think about all the things that I go back to the table for, these tidbits of satisfaction, tidbits of strength. Father, would we be drawn to You, the source, today? I pray for each heart that's here. I pray, Spirit, that You would lead them to a place of surrender. And Father, in that surrender, would You, if You see fit, if You deem best, would You pour out Your Spirit here? God, would You grant us a double portion to impact our family? Grant us a double portion to love the people in my pew. Grant me a double portion to reach out to those in the neighborhoods so near. Father, cause us to hunger for things that are above. Cause us to hunger for things that are above. Would you say that with me? Cause us to hunger for things that are above. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.